Welcome, everyone, to the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, Rodney Fisher. I'll be joined by my co-host, Royce Fisher, here in just a second. Welcome, everyone, to our NFL Week 2 review. We go through all the scores, highlights, what did happen, what didn't happen, and, of course, a little bit of the time about these NFL referees, which have become the hottest topic in sports so far today. Make sure you check us out online at rfsportsradio.com and also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/rfsportsradio. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get to the star of our show, the man that knows more about sports than I know about anything else, Mr. Royce Fisher. And how you do that, sir?
What's going on right now? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, you know, right now, I was okay going into the weekend, second week of football. I was good mood, sat down, watched a couple of great games. But, man, let me tell you, I got so impatient, and I'm losing patience with these referees.
Man, that's a lot to talk about. You said a mouthful right there. We're going to get into the referees.
Yeah.
We get into, of course, week two, scores and highlights and things that happened during the week as well, too. So let's go ahead and jump right into it and start off with, as you mentioned, the referees. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well, listen, if you notice this weekend, like me and every fan that watched the game, a lot of fights, man, a lot of players. Well, you know, we see a lot of that, but I think a lot of it was frustration. You know, coaches were yelling at the referees, man. I mean, I saw a lot of red flags come out, man. You know, both the coaches and the players are losing patience with these guys. You know, and some of them have even came out and offered to dip into their own pockets, man, to pay for the regular refs to come back. You know, but I know you saw a lot. It was good, some good games, but it was a very inconsistently called games, you know, over the weekend. And to start off, I'm going to talk about the guy that was the ref that was pulled from the Saints Carolina game. And they pulled him because he was a Saints fan. You know, when you're a referee, you can't be a fan. Can you be a fan or you cannot be a fan of a certain team?
I think deep down, some kind of way, all of us are fans, some kind of way. And I think that, you know, but the thing is, these professional referees, the guys that, you know, are in the NFL or been in the NFL for a long time, they know not to let that come out and not to let that show. But you got to keep in mind, these guys are like high school referees, Division III type of referees. They don't know the difference. They don't know what to do.
Well, you know, what caused them to pull him before the game, you know, the game even started? Did he go over and ask for autographs? Was he, you know, on the team? You know, you and I in the sports business, just like us trying to cover a game and to get autographs from somebody. You know what I mean? You got to be kind of biased. But listen, it's just a few things that I saw, okay? Let me start off first in the Monday night game. Joe Flacco threw a pass to Jacoby Jones in the fourth quarter. It was called back because of pass interference, but the ref didn't throw a flag. You know, they just called it, no flag was on the ground, and there was a lot of confusion. You know, made guys mad in the Philly game, for instance. You know, the go-ahead drive, the 2 minutes warning was called twice, you know. And, you know, Philly went on to win that game. Also, in that same game, Michael Vick, forward pass. You know, we saw this, remember? It was called a fumble. But it was clearly in the replay that it was a forward pass. That call was overturned. Monday night, they missed the call on Denver. The first touchdown by Demaryius Thomas. He was pushed out of bounds, and when the replay was shown, he had both feet involved, and the call was reversed. Also in that game, Michael Turner's first score was reversed after he fell short of the goal line. You know, they first initially called it a touchdown. In the second half of that game, they got mixed up where to place the ball at the defensive holding call. And I actually heard the crowd booing. They saw it, too. In the St. Louis game, you know, Washington St. Louis, they came out to the wire. Steven Jackson fumbled near the goal line. And actually, it was clearly a fumble, but it was overturned. The Rams kicked the field goal and won the game. So, you know, when it comes to determining the outcome of the game because of a bad call, that's pretty bad. I got one more. Cleveland-Cincinnati game. After Andy Dalton threw an incomplete pass, they didn't stop the clock. The clock ran for another 29 seconds. And, you know, I saw coaches, you know, arguing with the referees. I saw players angry, man. They were fighting, you know, and they just have trouble keeping these players under control. Where the old refs, they would have let some of these fights get out of hand. You know, we saw a lot of fights get out of hand, you know, over the weekend. So, listen, they need to bring the refs back. And this is just a few things I saw.
But you know what, though? I mean, and don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make any excuses for these guys. But I think what the NFL is doing is a travesty to the players and to the fans alike by having these guys out here that don't know the game but don't know how to call the game. But just in some slight defense of them, most of the stuff you named, they eventually got it right. Now, we had some games that lasted a very, very long time, like that Monday night game did. The first quarter lasted 55 minutes. You know, but they did eventually get the calls right.
Well, you know, the rule came in about instant replay on a lot, you know, more plays this year. It's a good thing they had that rule because, you know, just think if all these plays weren't reviewed, how many they would have gotten wrong?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then the bad thing about it that really escalated even more is they show them on the big screen, so everybody gets to see them. You know what I mean? You know, usually we used to seeing one or two calls reversed, you know, after the ref has called it. But to call a pass interference and not throw the flag.
Well, yeah, I'm not making any excuses for any of it. I'm just saying, you know, eventually they did at least get the calls right. So.
Yeah, well, a lot of them were reversed. So, I'm ready for the strike to end. The teachers even went back today. So, if they can go back, you can bring back the refs.
No doubt about it. If you guys want to see these refs in action, what they've been doing in week two and so far in the season, go to our website. We put up a video of some of their, let's just say, their greatest hits, loopers, whatever you want to call it. Go to rfsportsradio.com. There's a video posted that has all the information on it. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump right into week two and everything that's going on. You're listening to RF Sports Radio, rfsportsradio.com.
I got up this morning late again, rushing, trying to get to the station. Didn't have time to fix coffee or breakfast or even grab a lunch. And I jumped in my car and realized, I don't even have gas. I stopped by the Texaco in DeSoto on Hampton and Pleasant Run, walked in, and immediately thought, this can't be a gas station. And I was right. It was Maryland's Fine Foods. The friendly staff there was able to give me a fresh-made breakfast from scratch, also a gourmet box lunch, and not to mention a tank of gas, too. I got to work and had an awesome day, and then thought my family would love to have a break from fast food. So I went online to Maryland's Fine Foods and placed an order for my entire family. And you know what? When I got to DeSoto, it was hot and ready for me to pick up on my way in. Trust me, guys, you got to try Maryland's Fine Foods, located in DeSoto at Hampton Road and Pleasant Run. Give them a call at 972-274-1070. That's 972-274-1070. Or try them online at marylandsfinefoods.com. This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. Do you have a business, a product, a service, or a website, and you need more customers? Advertise with the fastest-growing internet sports radio show and market your business to sports fans worldwide. Don't miss a unique opportunity to capitalize on the biggest marketing genre in the world. Email me at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. That's rfsportsradio@gmail.com. We have options for every budget, and don't let business pass you by.
Welcome back, everyone, to the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm bringing Royce back on here real quick as well. As we get set to take you guys through week two of the NFL. We've got to be talking about the referees and everything that they have going on and have been too productive, I guess would be the best way to say it. But nonetheless, the NFL presses on. So let's jump right into the action, starting with the Chiefs and the Bills. The Bills beat the Chiefs 35-17, dropping them to 0-2 so far this season. Matt Castle had a better day, threw for 301 yards, but was 23-42 with two touchdowns. And, of course, your Buffalo Bills finally getting the offense going, scoring 35 points. Fitzpatrick 10-for-19 for 178. But how about C.J. Spiller? Another big game, 15 carries, 123 yards. They're going for 166 in week one.
That was my player pick of the week, remember? We said it was going to be the outstanding player. He was, this guy is somebody to look out for. I think he's going to end up being great. So far, two games, great. What is that, about three, over 400 yards, two games, about 400 yards, two games. And, I think I picked Buffalo on that pick, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay. All right, good pick.
All right, then, of course, the Bengals and the Browns, the Battle of Cincinnati. So, Battle of Ohio. And the Bengals won 34-27 over the Browns. The Browns had a better day offensively. Brandon Weeden, the rookie quarterback, 26-37, 322 yards, two touchdowns. And Trent Richardson showed what he could do, 19 carries, 109 yards. But Andy Dalton, a much better team, of course, the Bengals were able to get the victory. Dalton goes for 318 yards, three TDs. And a big day for him, and the Bengals get the win out there. He throws those three touchdowns.
Yeah, great game. I figured Cincinnati would bounce back. I don't know what's going on in Cleveland, Rodney. They're young and inexperienced, one or two players away, but I can't see Cleveland winning four games.
I think they're going to be. I think it'll surprise a lot of people. They tried to get a little bit better. Another good draft class for them. I think they'll be a little bit better after that. Then, of course, the coach. Talk about rookie QBs. Andrew Luck gets his first win in the NFL, 23-20, over the Minnesota Vikings. I picked the coach to win, although you thought they were going to lose. Vinatieri gets in the field goal, so he gets his first win of the season. Luck does throw for 224 yards and two touchdowns. Christian Ponder, the other young guy, throws for 245 and two touchdowns, but unable to get it done. These Colts, I told you they win more games at least than they won last year, so now they're halfway there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was a very close game. 3 points separated the two, could have went either way. I think they may be on to something.
The game that I thought that for sure no one would want to watch, that was the Raiders and the Dolphins. And the Dolphins get the win 35-13 after a huge day for Reggie Bush to help Ryan Tannehill get his first win of the season. Tannehill did have a decent day, 200 yards throwing the ball, but was only 18-for-30. He's got to do a lot better than that. But Reggie Bush, 26 carries, 172 yards, and the Raiders now are 0-2.
The black hole in Oakland gets deeper and deeper. Pretty soon, you won't be able to find Oakland. Well, you think they'll win a game?
Yeah, they'll win a game. They'll get it together. They've got some fire. They just got to figure out who's going to coach them and get these guys to finally play like a team. I think that's the biggest issue.
Yeah, they keep changing coaches. He doesn't have enough time to stay there and really develop that team, After 1 year, 2 years, they're gone, a new coach. So they need some consistency in that organization.
Now, this game here is going to bother me for a long time. I always pick the Patriots to lose. Every week I pick them to lose. Last week I tried to be impartial, try to be a good guy, and I picked the Cardinals to lose that game and the Patriots to win. And the Cardinals win the game. They're now 2-0. They beat the Patriots, and the Patriots were at home. Brady throws for 316 yards, but was 28-46. And Kevin Cobb gets the win. I mean, explain this one to me.
Very surprised by that. Tom Brady had a great throwing game, but no Wes Welker. I mean, what's going on?
Wes Welker had a good game. He had 5 receptions, 95 yards. We know Hernandez got hurt, and Zapp was going to be out for quite some time. But having one tight end missing, usually the Patriot way is you plug somebody in that system and they're ready to go.
That's true. That was a big surprise to me. You think this New England team's in trouble?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they did pick up Kellen Winslow today as a tight end to try to fill this role for Hernandez after they get bad news that he'll be out for quite some time. The question is, are they going to be able to keep that offense that they put together with 2 tight ends now that Hernandez is gone? Kellen Winslow's a great talent, but his head's not like Hernandez. He can't really get involved like Hernandez was involved. So I guess it remains to be seen just what happens with this thing.
And then they bring back Deion Brain.
Yeah, he's been there for a couple of seasons now.
Okay.
And then of course the Giants and the Buccaneers. The Giants get the win, 41-34. Giants need to win pretty bad if they're taking a loss to the Cowboys. But I'm really impressed by the Buccaneers and what they're able to do. Now Eli, of course, threw for 510 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Wow.
And had a big day, but was 31-51. It did obvious throwing pretty much in the fourth quarter, as they scored 25 points in the fourth quarter to win the game. A lot of talk about this game has to do about how the game ended and the Buccaneer players playing, you know, on the down ball by Eli. And, of course, Tom Coughlin having a lot to say to Greg Schiano, the coach of the Buccaneers. What's your thought on that, Royce, I mean, as far as them playing like that during the kneel down?
The game not over until 0-0-0 on the clock. We both know that. But it's not the first time I've seen it happen. I thought it was kind of a cheap shot. You know it was going down. But listen, Eli pulls out another come-from-behind victory. I think the Giants had a fluke the first week against the Cowboys. I think they really got together now.
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out exactly what's going on with this team.
They're tied with Dallas 3 weeks.
But I'm really impressed by the Buccaneers and what Shiano's been able to do. Josh Freeman had 243 yards, 2 TDs. I think they get some more help in the running game. I think they'll be okay. I mean, Vincent Jackson goes off, 5 receptions, 128 yards. But I'm really, really surprised by what the Buccaneers can do. Not to take anything away from Hakeem Nicks, who had the biggest receiving day of anyone.
Right.
10 receptions, 199 yards, and 1 TD, making someone's fantasy team pretty happy on Sunday.
And you know what? I didn't even plan because there's a report that he had a sore ankle. I'm a quick listener to these guys. And you know, I didn't even plan Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to say so much for reports now after he does something like that.
Right.
All right, this game here surprised me a little bit as well, too. I had the Ravens winning the game. They lose by 1 point to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Eagles again. A bunch of turnovers. 4 turnovers for the Eagles again, but the Ravens unable to capitalize. Joe Flacco had a terrible day, 22-42, 232 yards. Didn't seem like he threw for that much. Michael Vick, 23-32, 371 yards and 1 TD. And the Eagles get the win. Now they're 2-0 on top of the NFC East.
And, you know, it's kind of hard to believe because the way this team has struggled to manage to pull off a win, it was a bad start for Big with 3 interceptions in the first quarter. Well, this is one of those games that I've made notice to about some of the calls. Could have went either way.
Yeah, a lot of questions about some of the calls made in that game. But I think even more importantly is the Eagles get another win by 1 point. I mean, they haven't been dominant at all. They've overcome 4 turnovers in this game, 4 interceptions by Vic in the last game. What happens when this team finally starts clicking on all cylinders? Are they really that good, or are we just seeing them kind of treading water?
And they're actually leading that division of yours, the East.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, the Panthers and the Saints. The Panthers win 35-27 over the Saints.
The Saints not 0-2. They can't win at home. They can't win on the road. And Cam Newton does something that really no other quarterback, I think, has done, not at this stage in his career, rushing for 71 yards, passing for 253, one passing touchdown and one running touchdown as well. So Cam Newton does what he's supposed to do is advertise, but the Saints, again, get a loss. What are the Saints going to do?
Wow, this is a team in disarray, man. How do you bounce back from this? Drew Brees has done everything he can to rally his team. I think without the leadership of a coach, it's going to be a long 16-game season.
You know, this is terrible. This is absolutely terrible for the Saints.
They missed Sean Payton.
I mean, we talked about that last week, how they missed Sean Payton. They didn't know what to do, really, to get back into the game. You know, the thing is, I get a lot of people saying, well, Drew Brees can call the right plays. Sure, he can. But it's about the right succession of plays that follow each other to really make a drive and make a team. You know, he can't see what people can see from the sidelines while he's out there on the field. And without having Sean Payton calling that great succession of plays and knowing how to put Drew Brees in position to win and put his team in position to win, he can't do it by himself. It's just impossible to do it by itself. The Saints are not going to be the worst team in football, but I guarantee you, Saints fans, get ready because this will be the bumpiest season that they've ever had. You could throw out this season after Hurricane Katrina. You could throw out the season after any other disaster the Saints have had. This is going to be the worst. Well, I'd say the hardest thing to overcome for the Saints organization is going to be this season.
I remember at one time another people in this organization were wearing paper bags over their head. I hope it doesn't come to that.
No. I don't think they get that bad because the expectation level then was different than it is right now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We know this team is better than that. And like you said, not only does Sean Payton see a lot that Drew Brees doesn't see by not being on the field, but, you know, even just substitutions, play calling, motivating the guys, you know, making adjustments, you know, at halftime or adjustments as they come along, you know, they miss all that. You can tell this franchise in disarray.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. The Texans, there's no surprise, get the win of the Jaguars. And like I said, the Jaguar friends and also Jaguars front office people, when you put everything on Blaine Gabbert, you take Justin Blackman, you don't take a quarterback, you don't trade for Tim Tebow, Gabbert gives you 53 yards of passing, 7-19. That's all I got to say. And you want to draft a wide receiver for him. Good luck with that.
All right, Andy, the other night. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Other night, I had a dream that the Houston Texans, went to the Super Bowl. And that could very well be a reality.
I don't think so.
This team is that good to me.
They looked that good last year, and they didn't make it. So I'm still not sold on them yet. Not until they do it in the playoffs. If they get a playoff win and do it then, do it in the playoffs and get to the AFC Championship game and get to a Super Bowl, I'm not going to count them as two contenders yet.
Well, it depends on one thing. You know, the last couple of years, they hadn't been healthy. Guys have been injured. But if they can stay healthy, I don't see any reason why they can't go to the Super Bowl.
Well, we'll see.
Talking Super Bowl already.
Well, we'll see. It remains to be seen, but we'll see. In the Redskins and the Rams, a good game here. The Rams get the win 31-28 over the Redskins. Redskins has this game all locked up, ready to go, until Joe Morgan decides to take matters in his own hands, throwing a football at Colin Finnegan, and that puts them basically out of field goal range now from a 32-yarder to a 62-yarder field goal, and they basically lost the game for him. First of all, bonehead play by Joe Morgan. He has to understand that Colin Finnegan cannot play cornerback. All he can do is antagonize the wide receiver, and he did a good job of that. And for that, the Rams get the win. You know, Bradford had 310 yards, three touchdowns, Griffin threw for a touchdown, ran for another. But it's just mistakes like that that cost you games. And I know Joe Gibbs had to get into him something serious after that game.
Oh, yeah. Listen, bonehead play. Really bonehead play. But I remember Coach told me a long time ago in high school and Pee Wee League, he said, when you retaliate, you get caught. And how many times have we seen that the guy that retaliates always get caught? Now, in my opinion, this was another call that could have went either way. I'm not going to say the ref got it wrong. You know, it is what it is. We saw what we saw. He did retaliate. But they didn't see the first part of it. I thought it should have been offsetting penalty, to be perfectly honest with you. And I thought the Redskins were robbed.
Yeah, I think so, too. And they could have been offsetting penalties. But, again, like you mentioned, you retaliate, you get caught. And it's something he shouldn't have done. He should have put the game on a higher pedestal than his personal feelings were.
And especially in that circumstance of the game on the line, the last 2 minutes of the game, you're making a drive. Just get up, walk off. I mean, the retaliation is winning the game, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, of course, the Cowboys, they lose 27-70 to Seahawks.
Your Cowboys.
And, of course, the curse of that Seahawks stadium, man. Last time Romo was there, he fumbled a snap to give us a playoff win his first year as the Cowboy quarterback. Second time he goes there, he throws up an egg. We lose 27-7. You know, and my thing, I'm not gonna get too much into this game because we don't have a lot of time. But I'm blaming Jason Garrett, put it like that. I'm blaming Jason Garrett for not getting these guys ready. He had 10 days to get a game plan together. And you can't beat a rookie team like the Seahawks. You let the Seahawks basically punk you on the field. You let Russell Wilson look like a Pro Bowl-type quarterback. Marshawn Lynch rushed for 122 yards. I blame the coaching staff, and I blame the players. Neither one of them came to play on Sunday.
Hey, Ronnie, you're absolutely right. I heard today that Six Flags is opening up a new ride next year, a new roller coaster ride. It's called a Cowboy Roller Coaster. And this is what you're in for up and down season. After such a high on Wednesday to open up the season, beating the world champion Giants, you thought this Cowboy team was actually on their way with all the talent. I mean, what I saw that night was a great team, and what I saw Sunday was just the opposite. You're right, they had 10 days to prepare. I do blame the coaches. They didn't make adjustments when things were going right. Where was Dez Bryant's head? I saw Jason Witten dropping balls. And where was Ogletree, the guy that won you the game the previous week before? Would he get one pass, two passes the whole game? But I'm shocked, and I'm not going to get on that roller coaster ride with you. But I heard they're opening it up for one in Six Flags next summer.
Yeah, it sounds about right. It'd probably be one of the most popular rides there. Steelers beat the Jets 27-10 after they shut them down in the second half. Steelers, Big Ben throwing two touchdowns in the second half to give them the win there. Finally hits Mike Wallace for a touchdown. Everything's right in the world. The Chargers beat up on the Titans 38-10. No surprises there. They still can't get the ball going with Chris Johnson. The 49ers beat the Lions 27-19. I thought they'd be a little bit closer game. This Niners team looks pretty good, Roy. They look like they may be on to something.
Well, guess what? I'm going to make a prediction right now. 49ers and the Texans are going to be in the Super Bowl.
49ers and the Texans. That don't even sound right.
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound right, but it's a possibility. These are the two best teams in football right now to me.
And, of course, the Monday night game, the Falcons and the Broncos. The Falcons went 27-21, although it really didn't seem like that close. With Peyton Manning, did you know they seemed like they were never out of it? But, of course, they were up 27-7 in the third quarter, and two late touchdowns by the Broncos game 21. You were pretty high on the Broncos. Are you still high on them? Or what do you think about the Falcons and what they were able to do?
I think this is a good Falcons team, and really the Broncos, really, they didn't come to play either. They were here prepared. It was just Peyton Manning. Just one of those days.
No doubt. So make sure you guys stay tuned to our website, rfsportsradio.com. Go to TuneIn Radio and punch in RFSN to hear us live at any time. And, of course, we'll remind you guys that coming on this Friday, this Friday we'll be broadcasting the Cedar Hill and the Soto game live from the Soto Eagle Stadium. So until then, keep listening to Sports Talk from a fan's perspective. Stay tuned for more Sports Talk 24/7 from RF Sports Radio.